Okay, now back to Isaiah 28. And as I said in the introduction, I brought messages from this particular portion of Scripture many times, many times. And it's been one of my favorite for a long, long, long time. And it's not a burden and it's not grievous to me to go back and preach from the same text that I've preached from before, because in essence and in reality, wherever we turn in the Scripture, we're always preaching. If you ever notice, it's the same message. It's always preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and pointing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the title for this message, Isaiah 28:16, is taken from three words found in verse 16. For God said, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone." Now, here's a title, a sure foundation. A sure foundation. It's not iffy, not wishy-washy. It's fixed. It's certain. It's sure. He that believeth shall not make haste. Those who rest on that foundation will never be confounded, will never be ashamed. That's what Paul and Peter, when they write about that, they use those words. Now, I delight in the things of God, the gospel of God, that are sure, true, and everlasting. Don't you? True, sure, and everlasting. David said, "God had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and it's sure. It's sure. You can bank on it. You can count on it." And then Peter, when he writing about the word of the Lord, he said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy." You can take his word as the truth, because he is truth. And then the Apostle Paul, I like what he says when he says that salvation is by faith, that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. We have a sure word from the Lord. Now, I know, if you like me, I find comfort in those things that are unquestionably sure, undeniably safe, and eternally true. It's troubling to our heart to see so many finding comfort and seeking refuge in that which is contrary to that which is sure and safe and true. What Isaiah called in this chapter a falsehood and a fading flower, whose glorious beauty is nothing but a fading flower. You wouldn't trust something that's fading away, would you? That's why it's so absurd to trust the flesh, because the flesh is going back. He said all flesh is grass. Grass, Isaiah 40. It's also troubling to my soul to see so many religious folks, like we read of here, the priest and the prophet, going about to establish the righteousness of their own doing and totally disregarding the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. Remember, Paul writes about those who are going about to establish a righteousness of their own and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Remember? All through the book of Romans, we read about the righteousness of God. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Well, in this chapter, especially in verse 14, down through verse 18, God is going to tell us the difference between the false refuge of men and the true refuge of God. The false refuge of men has to do, look what we have done. Look what we have done. Look what we have said. The difference between the false refuge of men and the true refuge of God. One will save you, the other will damn you. One will bless you, the other will curse you. It'll be a vexation just to hear of it, as we read. One will justify you in Christ, the other will condemn you forever. One will redeem you eternally, for he obtained eternal redemption for us. That true refuge we have in Christ. The other will forever ruin you, a refuge of lies. Would you rest your soul in the refuge of lies? Now, do you have a refuge? Of course you do. If you're a believer, Christ is our refuge. You remember that study we did on the cities of refuge, where the manslayer would run and get inside that city, and he was safe as long as the priest there reigned in that city. You know, over the years, I've talked to people. I have met very few who didn't have a refuge of some kind. They have some kind of refuge. It may be religious. It may be totally irreligious. But they have a refuge of some kind, one way or the other. Now, if you have a refuge, I trust it's built upon the foundation that God has laid. He says in verse 16, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone." I trust you have that foundation that God has laid, and that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that. We sing that song, Rock of Ages. We sing that song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. All other ground is seeking sand. I trust you have a foundation that's built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And I trust that you do not have a refuge or a foundation built upon the sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. One will stand, that rock of ages will stand, that other that's built on sinking sand. When the trials come, when the heartaches come, when judgment comes, it'll be washed away. Don't turn. Let me just read this to you. This is Matthew 7:24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock." To hear the word of the Lord and to do it. That is, how do you do the word of the Lord? Well, by believing God. "The rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew." Trials are coming. Our Lord said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." "And beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." The rock, Christ Jesus. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Now, if you build a house naturally and constructed a house naturally, what's the first thing you got to do? You got to build a foundation. When we laid that, when we started that house over there on Winds Branch, first thing we did is laid it out and we dug a foundation, poured a solid foundation with steel reinforcement, and then we built upon that. Now, how foolish would it be if we just went over there, took some 2x6s, 2x10, 2x8s, and just threw them out on the ground? Wouldn't last, would it? It wouldn't last. It'd rot away. "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." What was the problem? I mean, the house probably looked pretty good. Had no foundation. Christ is our foundation. Now, in verse 14 and 15... we see those who brag about their false refuge of lies. "Wherefore the Lord said, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful, sinful men that rule this people in Jerusalem." Talking about the prophet, the priest, even those wicked kings. You remember all those kings we talked about in our studies in 1st and 2nd Kings. "Because you have said," here's what we've said, here's what they said, "we have a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come nigh unto us, for we have made." Notice how many times they say, "we have made, we have made. Look what we have done. We have made lies our refuge." And under falsehood, we're hiding in a falsehood. Now, now, it's obvious, most obvious and evident, that those who refuse to hear the word of truth receive the word of truth and believe the word of truth will go about to build a refuge and a foundation that is built upon lies and falsehood. They'll wrap themselves up in a covering that's too narrow. They'll rest in a bed that's too short. Will not satisfy God. Oh, these folks declared before God, they said, we don't say that we're not going to die, but we have a covenant with death. I mean, we've got all things fixed up. We've got a covenant with death. Oh, we believe we're going to die, but everything's going to be okay. We believe that judgment will come, but it won't come down to us. We've made an agreement with hell. When judgment comes, it won't touch us. It won't touch us. Oh, we believe in judgment, but it won't come nigh to us. We're okay. You're okay. We're safe. Don't worry about me. Everything's okay. I've heard people say that. Haven't you? Oh, don't worry about me. I've fixed everything up. I've made peace with God. I've got everything fixed up. Have you now? We've fixed things up with God. We've made peace with God. We have a covenant with death. Well, it's not the covenant of grace. It's the covenant of their puny, ungodly works, which will not satisfy God. Our Lord says of them, in vain they do worship, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Our Lord said to those men, you are those which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. That which is highly esteemed in the sight of God is an abomination before God. Your covenant with death won't stand. Your agreement with hell won't stand. The overflowing scourge is going to come and it's going to wipe away, sweep away your falsehood and your refuge of lies. We made a refuge of our own doing, they said. It's not the refuge that God has given us in Christ, but rather it's called a refuge of lies. It's not a refuge of truth. Now, these phrases are expressive of their being fearless before death and meeting God in judgment. People would say, I'm not afraid to die. Have you heard that? I've heard unbelievers say that. I'm not afraid to meet God. Really? You don't know who God is. You see, these phrases are expressive of their fearless, having no fear of God before their eyes. Their confidence is in themselves. Their assurance is in themselves that everything's going to be okay. When the holy wrath of God, when God bears his holy arm, he won't come near to me. We have a refuge of lies. Now, what's going to happen? Look at verse 17. And verse 18, something's going to happen. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. God said judgment is going to come. God's appointed a day in which he will judge the world by this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. God judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Judgment will I lay to the line. And righteousness to the plummet. And the hail. The hail of God's judgment. The hail of God's wrath. Will sweep away your falsehood. Will sweep away the refuge of lies. The waters of judgment will overflow the hiding place. And your covenant will be disannulled. Your covenant with death will be disannulled. And your agreement with hell will not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall you be trodden down by it. Judgment is certain and sure. What is going to happen to those poor folks who have made an agreement with themselves and who are hiding in their self-confidence in the refuge of lies? God will destroy it both. Them and their refuge of lies. Remember those men in Matthew chapter 7 where they say, Lord, we have preached in your name. Saying the same thing these folks are saying. Lord, we've preached in your name.
We have done many wonderful works in your name. We have done this. We've made a covenant with death, with hell. We're in agreement. We have a covenant. We've done all these wonderful things, and we've even done them in your name. Remember what the Lord said? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They were hiding under a falsehood of their works and their doing. They were hiding in a refuge of lies. God won't have it. God is truth. God demands truth. God demands holiness. Now, let's take a look at verse 16. Therefore, the Lord says, behold, therefore thus saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord. That ought to get our attention. Therefore thus saith the Lord. This is not Isaiah. This is not some other prophet. This is the Lord our God. He says, first word, behold. Behold. Sit up and pay attention. God said, I'm about ready to say something you need to hear. Behold, I lay in Zion, that is for the church, for a foundation stone that is a tried stone, that is a precious cornerstone, that is a sure foundation. Those three things he describes there. Tried, precious, and sure. He that believeth, those who rest and are fixed on that foundation, will never be swept away. Will never be forced out. And that's what he's saying. There shall not make haste. Now here's our comfort, is it not? There is with God an everlasting covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we call that the eternal covenant of grace. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the, what? Everlasting covenant. It's the blood of the everlasting covenant. God says in that covenant language, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will, and they shall. They shall come to me. All that the Father giveth to me, they shall come to me, because I will be God, and they shall be my people. There is an everlasting covenant found in the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the surety of that covenant, the Savior of the covenant, the guarantor of the covenant. And we know the covenant mercies in the Lord Jesus Christ. He revealed unto us that he came to seek and to save his covenant people. None for whom Christ died can perish. There's no one in hell for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. There is therefore now in the Lord Jesus Christ, no judgment, no condemnation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sin, and he got the job done. That's the covenant of grace. That's the true refuge for sinners to hide in from a storm of God's wrath. That is Christ and him crucified. You see, he's already weathered the storm. He's already endured the wrath of God when he was wounded for us, bruised for us. With his chastisement, we are healed because he took our judgment, because he took our wrath. Christ is the surety of the covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sacrifice of the covenant, and he's the Savior of the covenant. He's the Savior of the covenant. There is a true, solid, established foundation upon which weary sinners can totally rest. Remember, the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I will give you rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. This is that foundation that we studied in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And that's what got me thinking about this message. Other foundation can no man lay. You remember in our text? Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. And then it says, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just one foundation. God has only laid one foundation. There's just one way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by and through me. Neither is there salvation in any other. Now, who says so? This is just not me spouting off. Thus saith the Lord. I'm just repeating what he's already said.
Thus saith the Lord, I lay in Zion. Behold, I lay in Zion. God himself is the architect. He designed this from all eternity, that Christ would be the foundation. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God himself is the architect. God himself is the supplier. He supplied everything to build this foundation. The Lord said, a body thou hast prepared me. He's the builder of this safe and secure foundation. Remember he said to Peter, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Remember this too, only that which God provides will God accept. He is Jehovah Jireh. Believers are only accepted, not in their works, not in their doing. They're accepted in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, salvation, he's saying the same message here that we preached for years and years and years. Hundreds of years, preachers of the gospel have been declaring that salvation's of the Lord. Behold, I lay in Zion for foundation. Now, it would be so silly to try to lay another foundation. God would have us to know that there's one foundation, and we're to rest upon the foundation that he has laid for us. You see, there's just one refuge. There's just one foundation. There's just one way. It's a way of grace. Now, I love the description of this foundation. It's called a stone. It's a rock. And that we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. And he says here it's a tried stone. He said it's a precious cornerstone. And then he says, thirdly, it's a sure foundation. I love these characteristics that God uses. It's a tried, established, proven way. It's a proven foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ indeed is a rock, the foundation anywhere he lands. He is the proven foundation. No sinner ever perished resting on this foundation. He said, he that believeth shall not make haste. No sinner ever perished resting on this foundation. It's tried. It's proven. Those men who build buildings use material that's tried, don't they? Proven. Tested to endure. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ was tried and tested by Satan, who tempted him and hounded him for 40 days. And he said, the prince of this world has come and he's found nothing in me. He was tried and tested by Satan, tried and tested by the law. He honored the law of God in every jot and every tittle. He was tested and tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was tested and tried by the Father, the Heavenly Father. He said, and God speaks from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is a tried stone, a tried foundation, certain and sure. Ordered in all things, and it's sure. And then secondly, he said it's precious. Precious. We know it's precious to the Father. He said, I'm well pleased in him. But you who believe the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, to you who believe, Peter said, to you who believe, he is precious. A precious cornerstone to those who perish in their sin, and to those to whom the gospel is foolishness, Christ is a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. But to you who believe the gospel, Christ crucified is the wisdom of God, the power of God, the glory of God. Christ is a living stone upon which we are built. To you who believe, he is precious. We are redeemed with his precious blood. We're justified by the precious promises of the gospel. They're exceeding great and precious promises. And we have obtained by his grace like precious faith through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't you say that this foundation stone that God has laid, that it is precious, that it is tried? And then thirdly, he said it's a sure foundation. It's a sure foundation. That is, this foundation cannot be changed. This foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified cannot be destroyed. Certainly cannot fail. Isaiah 42, verse 4, one of my favorite verses in the book of Isaiah, where it says, He cannot fail. He cannot fail. This sure foundation that God has laid, this stone, tripstone, precious cornerstone, is sure. You'll never make a mistake trusting Christ for all your salvation. A sure foundation that God has laid cannot be changed, cannot be destroyed. A sure foundation of hope, of faith. We have a good hope through grace, of peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We joy in Him. He is our comfort. Christ is our comfort. And He is all of our salvation. It's a sure foundation, ordered in all things. And it's sure. A foundation firm and strong, immovable, everlasting, that will never decay, never needs an update, never needs an improvement, never needs to have a replacement, never needs to be changed. It's steady, certain, and sure. Jesus Christ, you remember, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Apostle Peter writes this from prison, 2 Timothy. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. It's a sure foundation. Isn't that comforting? Now, in conclusion, in the last part of verse 16, he that believeth, doesn't say he that worketh, he that feels good, he that believeth shall not make haste. Faith, I quoted a moment ago, faith is called precious. Faith, we know, is the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith. What a blessing it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son... Now look, think about this. John 6:47. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What does that word hath mean? Got it. He that believeth on the Son hath got it. What? Everlasting life. And then the next verse says, the Lord said, I am the bread of life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth shall not make haste. There is only one refuge, and we shall never be forced off that refuge. In Romans 9:33, the Apostle Paul, don't turn, let me just read it to you, but you remember the last verse in Romans 9, where it says this, when Paul quotes from that Isaiah 28:16, the Holy Spirit gives this word. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, but whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. Remember what Paul said? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to everyone that believeth. I'm not ashamed. And then when Peter quotes that same verse over here in 1 Peter chapter 2. These are familiar verses. I'll just read them to you. He says, to whom coming, this is 1 Peter 2:4, as unto a living stone, he's a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, chosen of God and precious, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it's contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Will never be forced out, never be ashamed. You remember
where it says in the book of Hebrews, you remember from our study where it says in Hebrews 2, he's not ashamed to call us brethren? Think of it. He presents us to the Father, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. He's not ashamed of us. And we're certainly not ashamed of him.
Shall never be ashamed, never be confounded, confused as to who our salvation is and how God saves sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. He only is my rock. Psalm 62, the only psalm. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. It's saying same thing, Isaiah 28:16. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Not a refuge of lies. Refuge of truth. You see why that's such a good scripture? I just love it.